Well, I've chosen, for my own reasons, well, apart from the Lord, of course, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. And I've got this underlined in my Bible, and I've had it underlined there for years, and I look at it, and bingo, I'm away again. It's so lovely. I just hope I can give you some idea of what it's like and what it means to me. And then when you did this song, it's the first one that ever got to me when when I was about 12, I think. And some choruses or hymns, they sort of make an arrow into your heart, don't they? And it won't leave. So that's why I'm doing this.
The second epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control, perseverance, to perseverance, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Well, folks, I'd like to start right at the end. I fancy that bit where you go to heaven. I really do. I can't say as I'm looking forward to it. When it's my time, I shall go. Wonderful. It's beautiful, isn't it? What a thought. You leave everything behind, all the troubles and all the trials and all the weaknesses and everything else, and you go into perfection. Wow. Really grabs me, that. So I'll read the first two verses again. Because Peter wrote this letter to fellow Christians when he was in some sort of Roman prison, and they're not very nice places, never have been, not even the modern ones. But he was waiting for execution, and that lovely Roman emperor Nero had given him the thumbs down. So, Simon Peter, a bond servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. So that's my first thought. What is a bond servant? Well, I'd only read about this 2 days before I started to look into this. And it's from Exodus 21, when Heavenly Father was given the laws, and he said that he got to slavery, believe it or not, and he gave quite a few things to Moses. And then he said about people who, or men in particular, were made slaves. Now, some were voluntary slaves, and others were bought. But the only thing is that they could only be kept for 7 years maximum, unless the servant loved the master. He actually used that word, if you love the master. Then there was this awful thing to go through. He took the man, he takes the man to a judge and makes him stand at the side of a doorpost, and then he drives an awl through his ear. I've got one of those at home. They're wicked things. You go right through wood quite easily. So you've really got to do that, and that's forever. And this is, I think, why Peter uses a bondservant, because that is what he is for the Lord Jesus, or what he was on earth. So I thought I'd share that with you. And it's for those who have obtained like precious faith, like Peter, and by the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ. It carries on. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that was quite a wonderful start off. Precious faith. That's something to have, isn't it? Precious faith. And peace be multiplied to you. Grace and peace. And I thought, God's free, unmerited favour and peace which passes all understanding. And that was the beginning of it. That's just the start. And then we're going to verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given exceeding grace, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having been escaped the corruption that is in the world. It really hits you, doesn't it, how it is. Those two verses show us the Almighty God's love and exceeding love, generosity towards his people. He demonstrates this divine love for all things, for our life and godliness. His call to us from the world to his own glory and virtue. The word precious is a lovely word. We use it so easily, don't we? You know, like a precious doll or a precious dog or something like that. But I thought precious speaks of something rare and infinitely valuable. And that's these things that God gives us. We can't go to the shop and get one. It's just so wonderful. And I thought of, you think of something infinitely valuable. You think of gold or diamonds or anything like that. Something really wonderful. And I thought of, one day we shall be walking on transparent gold. And that was something to do, won't it? And exceedingly means something way above what you were expecting. And both words describe God's provision for us. It's so generous. And we don't always realize it or understand it, but he does. He gives us and he gives us and he gives us again. That's to quote an old hymn for your benefit. I was thinking about this, and I read about some scholar who was thinking of counting all the promises of God, and he gave up at 31,000, and that didn't count the implied ones. You can't calculate them, can you? God just gives and gives and gives again. 31,000 promises in one little book. It's amazing, isn't it? And it all shows us how bountiful our Lord is, and he has given it again and again. So now come to three verses together, 5, 6, and 7. And it's really a list of things that all Christians should want to do or have. Help us to live a courageous life. Each one builds on the other. And I think it's a bit like a gold chain that Peter has given to us. And I'll read them out. Would you like to read them out for me, Rob? Yes, please. 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And brotherly kindness, love.
It always finishes with love, doesn't it? That's wonderful. Thank you. Well, diligence really means to make every effort to act with urgency, zeal and earnestness, which is quite it's an old-fashioned word, but it means what it means. Get on with it. Add to your faith virtue, a quality of character, moral goodness, integrity and above reproach. And then we go to knowledge. Well, true knowledge is to know Jesus Christ and to keep pursuing knowledge of him, with him. That's wonderful. And to knowledge, self-control. Everyone has a loss of that sometimes. Isn't that right? And it could be temper. Someone said, never lose your temper because you might never find it again, whether that's true or not. But I thought about an old hymn we used to sing, and it's an old children's hymn which serves well for older people. And it's, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Anybody know that one? Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus, he will carry you through. Fancy me remembering that when I was about that high. And perseverance. Now, I don't know whether to tell you a true story. Would you like to hear it? Well, this is the never give up thing, isn't it? You never give up, you persevere and go right to the bitter end. Well, in Australia in the 1980s, they had what they called an ultra marathon. And it was a race from, I think it was from Sydney to Melbourne, which is 540 miles. And on the day when it was due to start, all the athletes gathered together, you know, toned bodies, ready to go. and some of them have been sponsored, and they were all ready on the line to go. And a little man came, a little old man came. He was 61, name of Cliff. I want to run. And people thought it was a wind-up because he was rather scruffy. He had a flowing top, ordinary trousers, you know, and a pair of boots with galoshes on. And this was in the summer. And people started to laugh and jam, as they would, as we all would, I think. But somebody gave him a number on his bike, and off they went. And he got the most peculiar way of running, you know, it was sort of a sideways thing. But 5 days later, nobody was laughing, because he was the one that crossed the winning post. Nobody could make it out, so they asked, how did you do it? Well, he was a sheep farmer. He didn't have enough money to buy a horse, he couldn't even afford to buy a dog. So when he wanted to round all the sheep up, he ran and ran and ran, sometimes 2 or 3 days at a stretch without food or without stopping. And that's how he got it. That's how he got there. He never stopped running. All the other athletes that had, you know, a place to stay overnight, a bath and a good meal and all the rest, started fresh the next day. He had nothing like that. But even if he had, his eyes were fixed firmly on that tape, and he meant getting through. I don't think I've ever read something that means perseverance quite as much as that before. It was really, I thought, was wonderful. I wish I could be like that. Well, after perseverance, it's godliness. I just got one small song for this, and it's "To Be Like Jesus, To Be Like Jesus, All I Ask, To Be Like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, all I ask is to be like him." And I think it's an aspiration that we all have, really, don't we? And then brotherly kindness, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The Greek word for brotherly kindness is Philadelphia. And in America, isn't there a Philadelphia? The city of brotherly love. So we should be like that with each other, shouldn't we? No fallings out, loving one another, and always being kind. Kindness is a word these days that's totally different from what it really means. And you know, you're kind because you want to be kind. It's a sort of love, isn't it? And then, of course, leads us into love. Just to have it the last word, as usual, we should emulate the Lord Jesus, the epitome of love. He is as we should be. And if we are like that, we were neither barren nor... Well, this is first verse 8. "For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren or useless, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Peter encourages to go beyond barren and to unfruitfulness. He wants us to grow in abundant faith. He wants to have grace and to knowledge and to deeper and wider and richer. That is the Lord Jesus. Now verse 9. "For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness." Well, I know what's a bit like that. This last year I had the need to go to an optician and then on to the hospital for what's the word? Anyway, I had it sorted, put it like that, and now I can see perfectly. And the difference when you've been semi-blind to be fully open, it's wonderful, I can tell you that. Well, verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be more diligent to make your call and election sure, because if you do these things, you will never stumble. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever stumbled in the physical thing, you generally do it to a good audience. It's true, isn't it? And the only audience, Christian-wise, is the Lord, really. If you stumble, he will pick us up again and restore us, provided you go to him in repentance and faith. One preacher, J.B. Phillips, I don't know whether you've heard of him, he was famous at one time, he put it this way: set your mind on then, endorse your conduct by the fact that God has cared for you and chosen you, and we need to keep close to the Lord. And then, as I said, I'd like to finish where I started. It's going to be wonderful, isn't it? For an entrance supplied to you in abundance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. True believers in Jesus Christ, we are secure with him. Best of all, we shall be with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Spirit, and every Christian that's gone before us. And that's going to be wonderful. Amen. Heavenly Father, just bring that little word to us, I pray, and bless us and keep us and bring us through all the troubles and trials that we have to face day by day. Bless everyone here, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.